put his hand in front of his face with shame. His father kept grabbing his hand and pulling it away. No, you can show your face. The power of the Father is an amazing thing. How many of your dads? How many of your fathers? Welcome. And part of this is for you, but this is today's for every man. This is my father-in-law, Debbie's dad. He went to be with the Lord Jesus 2 weeks ago. Unexpectedly died of cancer. And he has been an incredible father, actually more of a father to me than my biological father was, really. He was more invested, demonstrated how to live as a man, love God. He is a wonderful grandfather. He was the father of many young men. Mentor for many young men. He was an elder in his church, gave many people, young married, sage advice. But the thing about Daryl that was so powerful wasn't anything he said, it was how he lived. Daryl was a generous man and a genuine man, and you could just feel it being around him. He was wise. He was always kind and one of the most patient people I've ever met. I was learning how to frame houses, and he was building his barn, and I said, Daryl, I'm going to come and I'm going to cut you a Dutch hip roof on that barn. He was like, okay. And Daryl's been a contractor for 30 years building custom homes. He knows the things about building. And I showed up and to surprise him, cut this roof for him without him there. And he showed up and it was a butcher job. And he looked up at it and he just smiled. He said, well done. To this young man, who just married his daughter, well done. He never changed it. I now look at it and go, that is the worst job ever. But he just was so patient. It was always more about you than about whatever was going on. Whatever you were doing, it wasn't about that. It was about how you were experiencing it as his child, as his grandchild, as his friend. He lived out of faith and made sure that God was honored at every family event. He was the father at the core of our greater family. When it came to Christmas, Thanksgiving, those things, he always made sure we honored the Lord. I was the pastor at the gathering, but Daryl was the one that initiated and brought up the Lord and came to pray. He was the one who was always doing that. And now we're doing this. He's on a mission outside of cell phone range right now. The reason why I tell you about him is we're beginning a series on community at Adventure Church, and it's going to be a year of our fellowship focused on community. And I feel prompted by God to talk about the most fundamental, most elemental, the most primary role that resides at the center of the core of community, because at the core of community is the family, and at the core of the family is the father. I want to make an appeal to the men, you men, of this community of faith, to be fathers. Not just biological fathers, not just natural fathers, but men who would step up to be spiritual fathers in this church, in this household of the living God. In Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, if I'm delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God. This is part of God's household, and I want to ask the men of this church to be spiritual fathers in this house. If you're a lady today in the audience, sitting next to a man, whether it be your husband or guy that you hope will one day be your husband, or maybe just a guy that you don't really care that much about, next to him, would you just elbow him right now and say, this message is definitely for you? Let's just kind of interact there. This message is definitely for you. Okay.
The Apostle Paul said this, "I do not write these things to shame you," in 1 Corinthians 4. Now, a little background. If you read 1 Corinthians 1 through 4 and a half, he is doing a lot of correcting of the Corinthian people. He's giving them correction. There's some factions going on. There's some issues. There are people of different opinions going everywhere. And the Apostle Paul is giving them correction after correction. And then he says here in verses 14 to 16, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me." Imitate me. You do not have many fathers. There are not many fathers. Not real fathers. You remember the first cell phones? Remember these things? You know, we used to call them mobile phones because they were phones that were mobile, right? You had a big accordion plug, you know, that you plugged into your cigarette lighter. You know, my first one that was like a big extension cord cable on the bottom of it. They were awkward. They were sort of for the rich and famous. And I remember our first one. It was 46 cents a minute to use it. And so you only use it for emergencies. And now everybody has a cell phone or something. I mean, it was kind of just for rich people. But now everybody, in fact, the elementary school students, right? Elementary schools have to have a policy so to keep kids on track so they're not texting during class. But everybody has a cell phone. My wife and I, we don't have a home phone number anymore. We just use our cell phones. It's a way of life. Right? We live in an enhanced technological culture. We live in the information age. And the information age has changed the way we live, the way we think, and the way we socialize, and the way we do business, and the way we interact with each other, right? We use things like Facebook now for relationship and Twitter. And then, you know, we say things like, you know, is that tweetable? Right? And you know, have you Facebooked it? Think about it 10 years ago. If somebody said, "Hey, have you checked out Nick's wall today?" Like, what would people think that meant? Like, he had gone over his house? What's on his wall? But that's now just part of our society. 96% of Gen Y, which is about the early 20s, people in their early 20s, 96% of them are belong to a social network of some kind. Facebook just replaced pornography. Social networking just replaced pornography as the number one activity on the web. That's something to rejoice over, right? Maybe not. Advertisers, if you wanted to reach 50 million people in advertising, you're a big company, you're Ford, you want to reach 50 million people, if you use radio, it's going to take you 38 years to reach 50 million. But now TV's out. Now we can reach 50 million in 14 years. And then the internet came out, and you could reach 50 million in 4 years through Google and Yahoo advertising, things like that. Facebook just added 100 million in the last 9 months. It boasts over a billion users. So if you want to reach, you're an executive for a large corporation, and you want to reach 100 million in 9 months, advertise on Facebook. We live in a different society than we did just 10 years ago. And it has its advantages, and it has its disadvantages. What are some of its disadvantages?
Bad advertising.
What? Bad advertising. Yes.
You don't actually talk to each other.
What? You don't have to really talk to each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do video conference. The personal interaction is kind of missing.
Time waster.
It's a time waster. Do you know the number one group, what age group, is most on Facebook? 50 and above. So, those of you who are sitting here with your arms crossed and going, yeah, those young people, blah, 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 it's you. Alright? It has its advantages. It has some of its disadvantages. We have millions of experts today. Don't we have any notice that? It's unbelievable. I mean, everybody has a platform. They have a web page, or they have a blog, or they have a Facebook page. Everybody can share with the world their opinion, their take on things. And they will share with you their opinion. They will. They're on the state of the economy. They will tell you what they think about how to raise your kids, and how to dress, and how to do our finances. And Christians will communicate with you their opinion on how to act, and how to live, and how to relate. They'll tweet you, and they'll Facebook you. And they'll video blog you. You know what a blog is? It's a video blog. Sermon tweets. It's a peculiar type of history. Now, back in the day, you know, we only had a few experts. And you would, like, actually sit down in your living room and watch them on an old device called a TV. And there were just a few of them, like Walter Cronkite, people who would come in and they would share with you, you know, the expert's opinion. You'd watch them on television, but now everybody's an expert. And we have Wikipedia, if you're not an expert yet, so you can become an expert. And everyone has a platform for their take, their opinion, their philosophy, and their theology. As a result, here's my point, people who don't just say what's wrong and share their opinions, but actually live lives as examples and models, are indispensable in our age. We have never needed men and women to be examples. Men and women who won't just say something wrong or share their opinion, but they will show you how to live right. We've never needed that more than today in our culture and our society. We've never needed men and women that will say, imitate me, like the Apostle Paul said. Truth is, what we need today more than anything else is we need now as fathers. But the way of the Father is not just to share his opinion and tell his children what's wrong, but to show them how to live right. And it's for this reason that Paul writes the Corinthian church. And he planted the church 3 years ago, and he's been gone. So this church of brand new baby believers, they're without their daddy, they're without their spiritual father. And as you can imagine, I mean, they have some crazy ideas about how to do life and how to live. And before this passage, Paul has already rebuked them twice. About, you say some follow Paul, and you've got this other group that follows this guy named Apollos, and you've got this other group that follows Peter. And then all of a sudden they say, well, I'm a Peterite. Right? I don't agree. No, there's this whole opinion thing going on in their culture. Also, you find Corinth was an epicenter of philosophy and commerce, and there were opinions flying around anyway. It was a lot like today. A lot like what we see today with all the internet and everything. And there were opinions everywhere, and the epicenter of Corinth was, and so many complexities in the community. Paul's saying, let me bring some clarity. Let me bring some clarity. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, though you have an enormous amount of people everywhere who will tell you what is wrong, have opinions on what you should do, you have very few who will show you how to live. We won't simply say, go there, but we'll say, follow you, imitate me. And Paul's writing not just from the heart of the leader, but the heart of the Father. He has a vested interest. He sees these people in the church as his children. And he says, you don't have any fathers. I've begotten you.
through the message of the gospel. And in the history of the world, we have never needed fathers more in our society than we do now. Right now, 33% of our children are without their biological dad at home in our country. 33% of the children in our country do not have a biological dad at home. Do you think that's going to impact our culture? Do you think that's going to impact our churches? Just in terms of boys growing up knowing how to live, knowing how to be a man, knowing what it means to love a woman. No, girls growing up with a father's blessing and delight in them and knowing who they are. Because girls, ladies, your sense of your beauty, your value, that came from, or didn't come from, your father's blessing on you, his words to you. If you didn't get it from him, then you have to get it from God. You got to get it from God anyway. But you come in with a limp if you didn't get it from dad. And the Lord's okay. The Lord wants to heal that wound. But what's the impact? What's the impact? And that's about 24 million children in our country. Not including, now how many more do you think it is of the boys and girls who are growing up in homes that dad's physically there, but he's not there emotionally or relationally? Would you say that's at least as much again? I would guess it was at least as much again. And I don't think we realize the impact, the recognized impact that that's going to have on our future society and hopefully our church. It will be when we realize that we need to realize the necessity of men being fathers. We may never be able to reunite these children with their biological fathers, but what we can do is build a community and develop a household known as a church, where men step up and become spiritual fathers to follow this generation. We can do that. Do you agree? Men, do you agree?
Amen.
The ancient Israelite sage Maxim coined the phrase "like father, like son." Have you heard that phrase and interpreted it in a positive light or a negative light?
Negative,
like son, like father, like son. Did you know it was actually originally said and meant means culture as a very positive thing? It was the father in ancient times it was meant to mean that for the father modeling was critical, and for the child emulation was critical. And this idea of modeling and emulation was held precious in ancient culture. And was something protected and honored. Back then, a father would prepare and develop his children to take over his profession, particularly his sons. And we see this with Jesus, right? With Jesus, we know Jesus, what was his profession? A carpenter. Why? Because his father was. So in that particular moment, at some point, Joseph would have said to Jesus, "Son, come into my shop," and he would have taught him how to be a carpenter and a lot more. And a lot more. It was on the father. It was the father's responsibility. He expected that he would be present and show his son how to be a man. Show his son how to love a woman. Show his daughters how to see themselves as beautiful and how to relate to a man. It would be the father's responsibility to teach his kids how to be frugal and how to be responsible and how to operate with integrity and how to work hard and love hard. How to relate to God. These are the rights of a father. And all through Scripture, you see how critical a father's role is in the development of the identity and self-esteem and life direction of a child. And if he would do that, he would influence his children. In ancient cultures, the actual family was built around the father. Not that he was a dictator, but that he was a father who would take responsibility to create the culture, the climate, and the course of the home.
So, just take that sentence with me again here. It was the Father who attained responsibility to create the culture, the climate, and the force of the home. So it is today. So it is with spiritual fathers in this household of faith. It is up to we spiritual fathers to create the culture and the climate and the course of this home. Statistics tell us that when I was a youth pastor, I ran across a statistic that if the mother in a home falls to work, if the mother in the home holds to spiritual values like involvement in church or prayer or giving or walking with God, if a mother alone does that, then the children in that home are likely to follow those same spiritual values. 15% of those kids will grow up and in their adult years care about prayer, be involved in church, giving, and walking with God. But if the father does, father and mother both do, then 85% of those kids will grow up as adults and carry those things for the values. Pretty staggering, isn't it? In these sense, it's true. I don't know. I can't verify. I can't find the statistic. I remember reading it and memorizing it back when I was a youth pastor, and I can't find it now. But something in my heart knows it's true. The power of the Father is critical. Follow me on this. In this spiritual house, if the women alone step in, invest, if the women alone are the ones who uphold spiritual values and walk with God, then I believe you will have a spiritual heritage coming out of this place at about 15%. But if the men step up and take spiritual authority and responsibility to father in this household of God, then I think we'll have exponential more in our heritage of what's coming out of here. Men, will you step up? My appeal to you is to step up and be the spiritual fathers of this household. There was an old mindset in the church that the pastor, the senior pastor, was the fountain of all wisdom and understanding and revelation. And the idea was that you need to set up an appointment with the pastor, because the pastor is going to tell you how to live and how to be married and how to raise your kids and how to do your finances. I got to have an appointment with the pastor. Right? That ain't going to work here. First of all, the church is too big. Second of all, I don't know all that stuff. I'm talking to Jeff Price and Mike Ward about how to figure out my kids and my wife, so I still don't have it figured out. But they're available to you. I think just a little family meeting moment here. I think this whole focus that God has given us for a year in community, I think it's God is helping us through turning our embrace to embrace this fourth pillar of community to open up the doors so that we'll not only have one Paul, one father, but release many Pauls, many fathers in this household of faith. And in this body, Pauls and fathers are literally everywhere. I mean, adventure has a deep, deep, deep bullpen of mature, godly, father men. And I'm not talking about whether you biologically are a father. Some of you are not a father yet. Bottom line is, because you're in the image of God, he's in you.
you bear His image, because that ability of Father is in you. What are some of the things that a father does that you know are in you to do? Loving unconditionally. It's a sacrifice for His kids. To protect. Advise and counsel. When needed, sometimes we discipline. To provide. They're good. Yeah, I think it's, you know, not a whole lot farther than just looking at how Derek Redmond's father, you know, what he did. He runs up alongside his son who's stumbling, puts his arm around him, and says, "We will do this together." Isn't that what you want from a father? You don't have to figure out everything, man. You don't have to go, "I need to study for, you know, months and learn how to do counseling and how to do." All you got to be able to do is run up alongside somebody, put your arm around them and say, "We'll do this together." That's the stunning blessing of a father. Adventure's growing. And we are looking at more new people coming in. We're going to be going to three services in September. And it's easy to say, "Well, Randy's going to take care of that. The lead team's going to take care of that. And they'll provide leadership for this and spiritual direction for us all." But in the history of the Adventure Community Church, I think it's time for the men to step up and take their place as fathers and father others. You think about the people God has placed around you guys. A new couple. They may not say, "Would you mentor us and father us?" But they'd probably be okay with you taking them out to Estapa or having them over for dinner and just saying, "How's it going? Can we pray for you?" Who has God put around you, men, that He's calling you to step up and be a spiritual father? And some of you guys know I have not been living that way. Because you know if you're going to step up and spiritually father, you got to walk with God. You know you've got to be here. You got to be seeking God. You know you've got to be on your game at some level. And you know, some of you are going, "I don't have to do it." My appeal to you today is, will you step into being a spiritual father for this house of faith? If you feel like, "Okay, this was for me today. I need to say, I need to do something. I need to say, yeah, I'm ready to move into that." I want to invite you to stand. Say, "I will be a spiritual father." I invite you to stand. Proud of you, man. Anybody else? Okay. Guys, guess what the men's retreat is about this year? Do we have the clip for that? Go ahead and grab a seat. I want to just roll the promo clip for the men's retreat. And then I want to tell you what it's about.
September 23rd, 24th, 25th, the wife called it scream because all I gave you today, men, is this is a desperate need. Will you respond to the call? You bear the image of a father is in you. Okay? But what do I do? How do I do it? And a lot of things will come to your mind. And that's awesome because it's in you. We want to give you some intensive training. What does it mean to be a kind of man that can father others? What does it mean to live extreme in terms of impact and investment in others? What do I need to be true about me? What do I need to work on in my own heart and with the Lord to have the absolute most extreme impact for His kingdom possible? That's the retreat this year. It's called Extreme. Registration is outside after the service this week and next week for a lower price. And so you want to make sure you sign up today. But the how-tos are at that retreat. So what we're going to do, guys, we're going to link arms, we're going to get trained, and we're going to build a connection, a fellowship of fathers. Okay? So at this point, I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward with, we're going to take what we call a benevolent offering. And that is an offering that we reserve for Communion Sunday. And it's a special offering. It's kind of above and beyond your normal giving. And the idea is, I've had a really tight month, and I can't make my electric bill. This fund is to help people. And it's depleted. It's gone. People are using it. They talk to Jeff Price or myself or Jeff Hansen if there's a need, and we sort of screen those, and there's a lot of need meeting going on through that fund. And so we want to take that, and I want to pray for it. But if you have some extra this week and this month, and you'd like to help people who are having a little bit of a tight time, just want to encourage you to give to this. And so let me pray, and then you guys can just pass those down the aisles and let them take care of it and grab them in the back. And then I'm just going to say a couple more things. Jesus, thank you so much for these men. It's good, Lord. These men who want to be like you. The most core relationship in the universe is Father and Son because of you and your Father. And Lord, you put in all of us to be fathers, men, and Lord of life. I pray that each man who stood up will, Lord, that you bring to their minds, even right now, people that you place in their lives. People that they can invest in, that they can offer an arm around, shoulder, people that they can be in their core, people who you've already placed in their lives, Lord. Whether it be their biological children or, Lord, people in this church family who just need, newly married, need some encouragement, people who've gone through a rough time. Lord, would you direct these fathers who stepped up? Show them their mission that's right in front of them. And then, Lord, I pray for them and the many men who stood up first hour that you would build an army of fathering that would reach this community. Lord, their eyes would be just as big as Adventure, but it would be bigger. There would be this community of Duval, the different communities we're involved in, Monroe, and the different places that we live, and the neighbors that we have, and that kind of fathering love and reaching out, Lord, that Daryl demonstrated with his neighbors and with me. And Lord, would you raise up men here, us like him, to be like them, to be like Paul? A group of people and feel like Paul did. I you don't have any fathers. Or would you give us ownership at that level? And then, Lord, thank you for the way that these
fathers and mothers and women and men are stepping up right now and said, to help others just financially, we've just been lost. And Lord, would you use it for your kingdom, Lord? Would you touch hearts and lives and cause people who are having a tough time, Lord, to get the blessing and the help?